Welcome to Generation Now, the show by and for millennials and Gen Z. I am Troy McDonald. Today we have a very special program that is truly rare. Every year, there are about 3,600,000 students, high school students in the country that are eligible to apply for the U.S. Presidential Scholar Program, one of the most prestigious honors a high schooler can receive. Only 800 get to the level of my guest today. That's about 1 in 4,500 or a 0.0222% chance. What's even better? This remarkable achievement was earned right here in our backyard at Bigfoot Union High School in Walworth, Wisconsin. Please welcome my guest, senior at Bigfoot Union High School, William Russell Vollmar III, a semifinalist in the U.S. Presidential Scholar Program, and his very proud principal, I'm sure, Mr. Dan Dowden. Thank you both for joining us.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, for those of our audience members who don't know, and I'll toss this out to either one of you who want to take this question, could you describe just exactly what the program is?
Well, Mr. Dowden, since you nominated me, would you like to explain the whole situation? And then I'll hop on afterwards.
Basically, the situation is you seldomly do you run across a student who is just the cream of the crop, the cream of the cream of the crop. And so this program is set up. It's the Presidential Scholarship. You fill out the application. You go ahead and send and just basically talk about what everything that this student has achieved. Grades are obviously extremely important, but it's really kind of a portfolio of types. You want the whole students. Grades are the main thing. In this situation, William has taken many courses at the next level already, as far as not just stopping at high school courses, but has gone through the high school so quickly that he is taking college level courses as well. So, It's just an outstanding student that you just don't run across very often.
Thank you. And to piggyback off that, the Presidential Scholar Award program, I was totally new to this program until he nominated me and pulled me and Dorothy Carpenter, my friend who was also nominated for this program, into his office, and he kind of gave us a rundown about what it was, what it entailed. And when I logged in to start my application, it was interesting to see that they weren't just asking for like, oh, what was your ACT score? What was your grade point average? What was your, like, all the numeric data that a lot of colleges ask for right off the bat? But this award was more geared around like your overall experience as a student at the high school. So it didn't just ask for my grades and my numeric values, but it asked for my personal experiences I had to overcome. It asked for all the curriculars I was involved in, why I was involved in them, like the purpose behind it. And I felt that that was really, really interesting. And I really loved how they tried prying for the information that makes me a person, the story behind it all, not just me represented as a numeric value. So I thought it was a really good program. And then obviously there are a bunch of, there's preliminary rounds, and you go on to this, like, and up until the semifinalists where I'm at right now. So there's a bunch of other rounds. You have to fill out different essays. You have to submit photos that represent you or videos you feel would represent you well, and you have to explain them. So it's a really rigorous application process, but now in the semifinalist stage, I just have to submit a bio and a photo, and now I just wait until early June when I hear back from them. So
wow, that's just absolutely incredible. So I think that would be hard though, William, to encapsulate your entire experience and boil that down. Talk about how you kind of picked and chose, you know, what you kind of put in your portfolio to submit.
Absolutely. It was definitely quite the challenge to encapsulate everything, all the 4 years I was at Bigfoot High School, because so much happened and I was involved in so much. I mean, I remember coming to Bigfoot High School as a freshman, and I just wanted to be in everything. You can even ask Mr. Dowden, I was probably in every single club in any capacity I could. And I realized, you know, later down the line, my sophomore year, I was like, all right, I have to start prioritizing, because I was lacking in a few clubs, and then you know, putting a lot more effort into other clubs, and I just had to narrow down my schedule to get this clear and concise idea of what I want to be and how I want to do that. So that being said, for the whole application process, my portfolio was so vast, and it's changed throughout the years. But it was really centered around, I really found my flow and who I wanted to be during like the end of my sophomore year and beginning of my junior year. That's when I kind of, it solidified that I found like the three clubs that I was really dedicated to. Those were Student Council, Students for Good Choices, and National Honor Society. I decided to just take those three on and do as much as I can for those three clubs. As for sports, I've always been involved in track and field and cross country in the fall. And so that was pretty easy. That was consistent throughout my 4 years. And on top of that, I did my personal life being like piano. I had private lessons. I took dance lessons. I did theater. So there was a lot to play off of in the application that I could have used. But there was just certain programs and certain events that we held in these clubs that really meant a lot to me. I remember sophomore year, I was the president of Students for Good Choices. And Students for Good Choices being not a really well-known or like more of a well-known club such as like Student Council or National Honor Society, that's like a nationwide organization. Students for Good Choices was what I never heard about it before, and it was very, it was smaller compared to those two clubs, Students for Good Choices and National Honor Society. So there's a lot more leeway. There's a lot more I could work with. And the advisors were more willing to work with me and let me pitch new ideas. And I remember I had this idea to, there was this program called the Pulsera Project that my Spanish teacher actually emailed my way. And it's making bracelets for, and sending the proceeds back to these Nicaraguan artists who made them. So basically they would send you this pack of bracelets, they're called pulseras, and they would send them to us with a lot of information, with a whole setup board, so you could sell them in between lunches, you could sell them after school, before school. And this was a new project for both me and for the club, so it was really interesting to kind of get the vibe and how the school would react. And I wasn't really sure how they would react, but it was a really positive reaction that I got from the student body, and I thought that was really cool that they were that we could do these fundraising programs in a way that, you know, sparked excitement and passion in the student body. So that, I remember I talked about that in my application because it really just meant a lot to me to see a whole wave of volunteerism from the entire student body and how they were all passionate about it just as much as we were. So is programs and events like that that I participated in that were just kind of key defining, and I learned a lot about myself, a lot about organizations, and about essentially the student I wanted to be. So it's really easy to, at the end, when I'm looking back at my 4 years and there's all this information I had to sift through and pick for my application process, it was really easy because I knew the kind of programs and the stuff that I did that stuck out and made themselves known. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. And first of all, do you sleep? Goodness gracious.
I try to get some sleep, but you know, it's difficult, but you know, I get my 6 hours, I get a healthy dose every night. Right. So, yeah.
And see, that's amazing that you had just that variety of experiences, whether that was volunteerism, creating that project with the Pulseras, mm-hmm. and the National Honor Society and all the other things. And on top of maintaining your studies, the principal, Dan Dowden, said on top that you kind of breezed through things and were already taking college level courses. So how was that balancing all of those extracurriculars and your regular duties as a student?
Of course. So I kind of saw my academic work and my co-curricular work as two separate entities, but they were kind of co-connected in a way that, they had to learn how to coexist together so I could, you know, maintain sanity. So it was really interesting to kind of figure out that balance. I mean, freshman year was a little teeter-tottery. I was kind of like thrown into these classes, but there's a lot more demand as far as what the teachers wanted from work and these college classes. And on top of that, I still wanted to maintain like the sports and the co-curricular. So I kind of built in like a nice schedule for my day. Like it was kind of repetitive, but it was nice because I'm a student of routine. I really like routine. And I like Monday is this, Tuesday is this, Wednesday is this. And I have like I never really wrote it down, but it was kind of a mental schedule that my brain just kind of ran on naturally. So I remember school obviously was from 7 a.m. or what to around 3 o'clock. And like a lot of that time for schoolwork, whatever you needed to get done for school, get it done then as much as you can. After school, from like 3 to 5, I knew it was like go time for my co-curriculars or my sports. So maybe like 3 to 4 was cross country, and then 4 to 5 was like a club meeting that I had to do or whatever. And then I remember I had a little bit of time, an hour or two for dinner. I'd go home. And then I would go back, because after dinner would be like the dance classes that I had in Delavan. I danced at the Delavan Dance Factory. Or I would go to piano lessons at 7 p.m. at my teacher's house in Delavan. And that was like on Thursdays. And I had dance on like Wednesdays and Fridays. So it was just, and then I'd like work on the weekends. And the weekends were just like work weekends. So like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you would work. And whatever time you got left over.
You had a job on top of all of, excuse me, you had a job as well?
Yeah, I had a part-time job. I know I've always been in the food industry, so I was a host at Sprecher's freshman year.
Oh, in Lake Geneva?
Yeah, in Lake Geneva.
Oh, I love that place. Really good.
I know. It was really nice. And then that was my first job. And then I moved over to the Abbey because it was closer. And then I was a host at the Abbey, the Waterfront, and 240 West, the two restaurants there. And then I'm... Finally, right now, I work at Century. I'm a cashier. So I've been in a couple different positions. But yeah, I had a job on top of that. But that was just for the weekends. I made sure, like, that's another part of the balance, that I made sure that my work schedule didn't disrupt the flow of my academic and personal schedule. So I work on the weekends, school on the weekdays, and then personal activities wherever I can, you know, fit them in.
That's amazing. Yeah, I was just going to have you jump in. Yeah, go ahead.
As you can see, this young man has more energy than, I don't know, a classroom full of kindergartners, because if you sit here and talk to him, you can see that he's, you know, he's moving and he's active. And,
yeah.
And he's that way in school. He's that way in the hallways. He's that way whatever he is doing. He has so much energy, and I get tired watching him. You know, the first thing that I remember about Will is, when he first started high school, I was just a math teacher, and some kids were telling me about this kid down in the choir room who was playing the piano and without any music. And I'm like, yeah, okay, what's he playing? Chopsticks? You know, everybody. So I got down there, and I don't even remember the song he was playing, but it was awesome. And again, no music, sitting on the piano. He was doing this all from memory. And that's my first real interactions with Will. And I thought, wow, this kid is special. There's going to be something here. Now, at that time, I'm thinking as a pianist, not anything else, nothing else of what, you know, what he accomplished over the next 4 years even crossed my mind. And then I go and I see him in the plays. I see him in the musicals. Just you name it, he's doing it. And again, the energy, I'd love to have some of that energy. I really would. Yeah.
And Dan, I want to get you in on this as well. How do you create and foster that kind of community? Because it's one thing to have a student like Will, who is once in a generation kind of student, right? A very rare student. Mm-hmm. But also it's another thing to have the community to be able to handle that, to foster that, to mold that. So talk about your job kind of molding that community.
Well, I want to take very little credit for what Will's accomplished, because again, as you notice, he did so much of it, but he had a lot of backing from a lot of our faculty. We have some outstanding teachers here who maybe they weren't ready for Will when he came along, but they did everything they could to help him advance to where he wanted to go. Not where he needed to go. He was past where he needed to go, but we had English teachers, we have music teachers, all of them, every teacher we have here who had a chance to work with Will, help foster to get him to be able to go on to that next step. He loved it. He took it. He never took anything as, oh, I'm not good enough for what I'm doing. And I mean, it was always, hey, okay, I can do that. And he would take that next step. So I take very little credit other than being in charge of a faculty that really did an outstanding job of, again, not pushing him, but guiding him and leading him to where he could get more and more of what he wanted.
And how was that, and was that challenging for you as a principal? Because I can imagine frustrated teachers going, I can't teach him anymore. He's how do you keep teachers motivated to keep pushing them to push Will?
You know, it really wasn't that so much that they got frustrated about what he needed to do to keep going on. What we really did was we just kept finding the next level of whatever subject it was. And here you go, Will, take it and run with it, and go with it. And he did. I mean, to be honest, he went out and he found a lot of his own stuff that he wanted to do, the dance, the music, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, he did a lot of that on the outside just through his own motivation. And again, what the teachers could find to help him keep moving along, that's the kind of thing you really enjoy doing. Everyone always talks about, you know, this kid, that. When you run across the wall and all of a sudden you get to help him move along like he is, you know, we're all hoping to see him on the big stage someday in New York.
Right. And we're going to talk about Will's future plans in a little bit. Folks, you're listening to Generation Now. I'm Troy McDonald. You have had the pleasure of listening to my guest today, a U.S. Presidential Scholar Program semifinalist, William Russell Vollmar III, and his very proud principal, Mr. Dan Dowden. Let's continue here. Will, you kind of said, and it's evident, your energy, all the activities you were doing. Now we're in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis, and all of that has had to stop. How are you keeping your brain functioning and moving, right, so that you can stay on top of your game during this crisis?
Oh, absolutely. It was definitely a challenge and it was a shift. There was a evident shift in just motivation and energy just because of this whole, you know, shutdown of essentially everything. So I had to deal with that in a way that, I mean, everything was becoming more virtual, everything was becoming isolated, obviously individualized. So, and me being a senior in my second semester, course studies and the college classes that I was taking, like at George Williams that were on campus, they already had their final exam. So now I'm in a position where half my day, which I spent at George Williams College, is now gone because I already, you know, finished that class. So I have like 4 or 5 credits at Bigfoot High School that I'm working on right now with my teachers via Google Classroom or via Zoom. So keeping my motivation up and my energy up, it's been just me finding different outlets where I can pour my energy in and that where I can pour my, that is allowed for me to pour my energy into. So that includes preparing myself for my studies in the fall. So I've been working on a lot of piano repertoire that I'm probably going to need going into my freshman year of college. I've been working on reading a bunch of studies, books that cover the studies I'll be studying at UW-Madison. And just kind of preparing myself for the freshman year that's up and coming. But on top of that, while also obviously maintaining what I'm doing right now, I'm maintaining my core credits and everything that I need to graduate. And also I try to get out and run when I can, to compensate for the lack of track that I'll be missing out on this year. I try to do some dancing. There's some virtual classes that they offer at Dance Factory that are online, so I try to do some of those. And then piano is just kind of individualized. My teacher and I, we Zoom call, we Google Hangout, whatever, and we keep that going as well. So there's been a change, but I'm still kind of maintaining everything that I've done. It's just I have a little bit more time to do it, which is really nice because, I mean, now I'm not like, I don't have to be anywhere at a certain time. I can stay in my pajamas all day. There's a lot more comfort I'm finding in it. But it's also, I'm really anxious and ready to get back to the swing of things and just getting back to being social. And I feel like it's the social aspects of what I was doing and just helping people, seeing people's reaction to certain events that I was doing that really gave me the energy I needed to, you know, keep up motivation. It was seeing the people's faces when they went to the dances or seeing the people's faces when we're volunteering to help them out. It was the kind of reaction and the conversation we had between the like people. Just it was nice to have that, and that's kind of a big part what kept me going. And I mean, it's still I still get that virtually, but it's just I'm ready to go back to the real deal. So.
Dan, I want you to jump in on this. As an institution, there's been a lot of talk about some of the work being ungraded and how do you keep students engaged, right, when the work is ungraded. So talk about how you kind of transitioned your programs and institution during this crisis.
Well, it's been very difficult in certain situations. You know, that first couple of days, I think all the kids were excited. Hey, we don't have to go to school. But it wasn't too long, and all of a sudden we were getting comments, hey, I'd rather be at school. The virtual, if kids really wanted to be doing virtual work, they'd sign up for a virtual school. So they want to be here. They want the social life. As far as grades go, we're really, I actually kind of put out the message, less is more right at the moment, simply because it's tough to get everything we want out of these students when we're not face-to-face with them. So I tried to get the staff to understand, let's get a little bit out of them. That's better than not getting anything out of them. And the staff has done a pretty good job about that. Obviously, you're not going to cover everything that you cover in the fourth term that you wanted to. But I also tried to point out to most of the staff that, hey, in the fourth quarter, a lot of times that's where you get to do some of that extra stuff. You know, you finally reach that point in the year that you get to try a few extra things. And those are the things to kind of cut down and not overwhelm the students with. So it's a learning situation for us too. I mean, every week I do a video letting the community kind of know what's going on, and the questions come up with grades all the time. We are staying with the standard grading system because kids who are working hard deserve that A that they're getting, and they deserve the 4 points for that. Kids who have decided that they're not going to do the virtual work are going to have to retake the course anyways. So it's been a difficult situation. We're really trying to juggle everything, and I hope it's working out. We really won't know probably for a couple of years to see what the total results are.
That's very interesting. Well, I want to get back to kind of your plans, right, for the fall. You're going to be graduating, and tell me what your plans are for this fall. And do you know if you're going to be going to campus and kind of what your plans are this fall?
Right. So I just heard back from UW-Madison, and they accepted me. I did regular decisions, so I found out just recently, probably about a month ago or so. I committed a couple days ago to Madison, so I'll be going there on a full ride that they offered.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was definitely.
Not if you know this kid. That is not unbelievable.
Yes, probably the wrong description in this case.
I am so grateful for that. I definitely needed the financial help. So I am over the moon to be attending on that full ride. And on top of that, I'm going for music education. So I had to audition for both their piano program and their voice program. So I did that a couple months ago. And I just heard back from them, and they'll be offering me, on top of the full ride, a $20,000 scholarship just to, you know, rent, food, whatever I need to do. And with also that came with admittance to both the vocal and the piano program. So I'll be attending UW-Madison in the degree path of music education. I'm probably going to pick up a minor in either business or a foreign language or some kind of international studies such as that. But that's all up in the air right now as we're trying to figure out everything. It's really nice that the emails I'm receiving from UW-Madison are kind of geared around sensitivity, and just it's a tough time we're all going through. So they're just really understanding, and they're really willing to help us through this time because, as Mr. Downing said, it's a learning time for everyone, not just the students. So we're kind of, as for like fall semester and like housing and whether or not I'm staying on campus, they right now they're going about their business as if we're going to be returning in the fall, and we're going to be going to our dorms in the fall and everything such as that. So I had to do the housing contract that was due May 1st. Everything's kind of, the due dates are the same as they always were. So they're kind of going about it as if it's going to all return back to normal by fall. But obviously it's up in the air whether or not that's actually going to happen. So overall, I'm pretty excited regardless of what happens. Like, if it has to be virtual for the first semester of my freshman year, I'll take it with a grain of salt and I'll work just as hard as I would if I was on campus.
Now that is believable.
There we go.
I know that's the truth. So talk about your family, Will. When you're doing everything that you're doing, they don't see you. So how do you maintain relationships with your family? And of course, what do they think about your incredible success?
Right. My family, I'm living with a friend. So my family we have a long just history of kind of issues that kind of arose during my studies, throughout my entire childhood for that matter. And we actually moved to, Lake Geneva area. We moved to Walworth County my eighth grade year. So I was totally new. I was attending Delavan. I was in DDHS and Phoenix Middle School, actually, because they moved me up a grade during my eighth grade year for course-wise.
So I was
halfway between the two schools. So, but it's kind of, I had to, my junior year, so this past summer of 2019, I was kicked out of the house, and kind of, it was kind of like a move out / I was kicked out. Like, I was planning to move out anyways, so I was trying to get my stuff all online and everything, but before I could do so, my dad kicked me out, and so it was just like it was very new to me. Everything was so new. It was me adjusting to this new life. So, it was interesting. Right after I got kicked out, I walked right down the street to Mr. Boland, who's the art teacher at Bigfoot. And he was very, very welcoming. He said, come inside. He sat me down, got me some water, gave me a phone call that I could use to call my friend. So, I mean, that just goes to show the support I'm getting from all the teachers and the staff at Bigfoot High School. So, I mean, I just want to make sure that's known. Like, all the support I'm getting right now from Bigfoot is what's keeping me going, because that's ultimately my home, my home base. So, but back to the story, my family and I, we're distant right now. I'm living with a friend. I'm living with Jeffrey Martin. The Martins graciously opened their house to me. So I'm living with them, and, it's kind of hard because it's just, it's complicated right now. It's all new. It's requires a lot of adjustment. I mean, and on top of this COVID stuff, it's definitely taken a toll, not being with my family. I mean, regardless of what happened and all that has happened, I still want to make sure that, they're healthy and everything. But it's different because I'm not living with them, and I'm living with the Martins, which I absolutely love. Like, they're such a welcoming family, and I feel like I'm part of their family. But it's just like this, I don't know how much my actual family, my biological family is knowing about me, just because we don't really keep in touch anymore. So, I mean, it's all new.
Excuse me, audience here. It's going to take me a minute. That is incredible. To do what you are doing, achieving at the level you are achieving, after going through what you've gone through, moving out and everything, is an inspiration to everyone who's listening. And to me, I'm going to be a better person because of this interview. So I'm sending positive energy your way as you go through all of this, the most harrowing time of your life, right? In so many ways, right? Mm-hmm. In so many ways. Absolutely. And you're doing it with courage, with conviction, and with incredible intelligence. And that is an inspiration to everyone. Okay, we have a few minutes left, folks. I'm sorry. I'm not even editing this, because it's real, and it's how I feel, and I'm keeping it in. So,
thank you.
We have a few minutes left here. So, kind of talk about. You said you're going to find out what happens with the Presidential Scholar Program in June, but if you could go back and tell the younger version of yourself one thing, what would you tell him?
God. I would tell him that, I mean, there's going to be a tough road ahead. And despite all the issues and the problems that may arise, just what's important is, I mean, not the grades you get in an exam. It's not going to define you. It's not your involvement in whatever. It's not, you know, doing things for the benefit of like looking good on a piece of paper. It's just, it's about helping people and being kind to people and, you know, remaining positive and treating people with a thought and with the understanding that everybody is overcoming something. No matter how big or small it is to you, it's all relative. Pain is all relative and everybody's going through something. And like, I'm going, like, you're going to be experiencing a lot of things in your future. But so is everyone around you. Everyone's going through something. And I feel like that is what I would tell myself about the sensitivity of, you know, human nature. I mean, I just growing up and seeing everyone's story, like everyone has a story, and it took me a while to understand that. And I mean, we're human, we're very, you know, self-absorbed human beings. We just think about ourselves usually. And it takes a lot to just think about that everyone is going through something and to approach everyone such as that. So just spreading kindness and positivity through what you're doing and your success and your achievements, just to make sure it's, you know, radiating off your energies, positivity, kindness, a smile on your face goes a long way. And just to do it, overcome these obstacles and overcome these challenges and do so with the best intentions and the best at heart.
Okay. Wow. That was great. Dan, as we're coming to a close here, just your thoughts again on Will and what he's accomplished and your hopes for his future.
Well, if I can say this without choking up, you know, here's a kid who has really gone through some tough times and what he cares about is everybody else. Thank you, Will. You made me a better person. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You're fine.
Thank you, Mr.
Fine. Wow. Folks, this is if you're listening, this is a sign for you at home to be the best human being that you can be because of what Will has done and the example that he's showing all of us here on this program this Saturday. This is your moment to be the best person you can be because there are no excuses, really. And Will, you are living proof of that.
Thank you.
I want to thank both of you for joining us and for sharing your story. Again, we have a U.S. Presidential Scholar semifinalist, William Russell Vollmar III, and the principal of Bigfoot Union High School, Dan Dowden. Until next time, bye, everybody.